This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Friday indeed, Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hope everybody's doing well. Gitter, how are you today?
I'm just fine, Doug. Thank you for asking.
That's good. Anything exciting last night in the Gator household?
I watched the hockey game. Got caught up in some other shows that I had recorded as well.
Like what?
Yeah, I watch a lot of HGTV, so some of those shows.
Okay, like what? What did you... Is this a secret, what you were watching on HGTV?
Let's see, was the flip-off?
The flip-off?
It's with Tarek El Moussa and his wife flipping a house versus his ex-wife.
Okay, does his new wife look a lot like his old wife?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not like a Kanye and, you know, Kim Kardashian thing. Although, right. Hey, sad to hear that those... The Kanye and his wife, that's not going to work out. But
color me shocked.
I know. I couldn't believe it.
On Valentine's Day, too, man. Come on.
Right? Who knew?
That didn't work out, huh?
Yeah, so there was that show, I think Izzy Does It. It's a contractor. He used to work with Tarek and Christina, but now he's off on his own. It was his family. And
so did they turn that channel over to Tarek and Christina the way Bravo turned over everything to Real Housewives? Is it Bravo?
I think it is Bravo. Yeah. And
MTV turned everything over to ridiculousness.
I think this is just like right now there happens to be like three shows that are kind of tied together
okay. Like
that. But no, I mean, all the shows are pretty much the same. They're just different areas of the country.
Yeah.
This one's concentrated in
Los Angeles.
It's like
the Taco Bell menu. All the food's basically the same. They just kind of package it differently.
Kind of.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right, so last night I'm watching the Four Nations. I said, all right, I'm going to sit down. USA's playing. Kenny's proud of me behind a glass. I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's watch some hockey. It's high-end stuff. And no, the Four Nations has no history, no tradition. The trophy doesn't even have a cool name. But let's go. And I found myself, Gator, I found mildly emotionally invested. I it's not like the Olympics, but I found myself mildly emotionally invested because it was Team USA. And I realized we blew an opportunity yesterday, a real opportunity. I have no beef with Finland.
No, why would you?
Exactly. And that became the issue is... I like all those guys. I have nothing bad to say about Helsinki. Helsinki's the worst, am I right? At Teemu Selanne, the worst, am I right? I mean, we needed to yesterday find a reason to hate Finland. That would have helped.
Well, I don't want to hate anybody.
Well, but you know, I understand. In a sports sense.
Yeah, but I mean, like, nowadays I really don't. But in a sports sense, to trying to get the rivalry juices going.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a history with it. I mean, the United States had to beat Finland to win the gold medal in 1980. Mm-hmm. People forget that.
But we did.
I know. But
had we lost that game, maybe I could have held up.
Well, sure, but I mean, you're doing that, I guess. I mean, it's a tournament thing here-ish.
You know what's overrated? The Baltic Sea. Like, I couldn't put anything together.
Well, but if you watch from the beginning, when the national anthem hits and the whole crowd is booing the United States national anthem after the announcer even says to people, let's try to keep it together here, show some decorum, and the crowd still booed, and I totally understand why they would. It was definitely a pro-Finland crowd last night.
Mm-hmm.
So even though maybe you're not disliking the team they're facing, what you are is you're the hated team on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't
in
take
that
long.
Building for sure.
Yeah, it would not have taken long to say USA versus, you know, versus everybody last night, because that's just ended up what it was even before the puck dropped.
Yeah.
But to your point, I mean, yeah, there's
nothing to hate about Finland.
Yeah, there's a lot of vowels, a lot of double vowels.
Too many vowels next to each other.
Yeah, a lot of double A's in there, and
there's nothing more irritating than that, is there?
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But pretty good. It started off being a really good game. I mean, it was 1-1 with 3 minutes to go in the second period, and then the United States scored to go up 2-1 after two, and then they scored like four goals or three goals in the first 5 minutes of the third period and just blew it wide open. But pretty good hockey. It actually was feisty on the ice. The Tkachuk brothers out there hitting anything that moves, and Finland was having none of it. They stood up for themselves, and ended up being kind of a chippy game. It was entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, and I mean, it was a good level of hockey. I'm not mad at anybody about this. I was just disappointed that Dylan Larkin was almost not on the ice.
Yeah, I didn't see him a lot, but when you did see him, his presence was there.
Yeah, he had no shots on goal.
He was like a defense. He was like a checking.
He was. They were out of the 18 skaters. He was 17th in terms of time on the ice. And I don't know, because I switched TVs in the first period, because when number 71 picks up the puck for the Red Wings, I know who it is, right?
Right.
But everybody's in a different uniform. Yep. Many people have different numbers. When the first period was being played, on the bottom they had that scroll with a constantly changing who was on the ice. Yep. For both teams. I switched TVs and same channel, and I wondered if something happened. It wasn't there in the second period. And I'm like, I was using that more than I've ever used it ever before, because I didn't recognize the players just like that, because they're all wearing USA jerseys and many of them have different numbers. And I'm constantly looking. I know when Dylan Larkin's on the ice, I recognize him as a Red Wing. I did not know instinctively which one was Dylan Larkin in this game.
I suppose if you didn't know he was number 21 going into it, then it's you got to figure it out. And if they're not going to show that graphic later on, then you're kind of SOL with it. And I think this is the misstep. It's a minor misstep, but the little thing goes a long way. And it kind of, to add what your frustration with that was, is that when they're announcing the players before the game,
yep,
there's no name that comes up on the screen, lets you know who it is. So even though I'm a big hockey fan, and they're showing this player from Finland, I have no idea who it is, and I'm relying on the French pronunciation of the guy's name, and I have no idea who these players are. I'm like, come on, who?
I would have liked to have seen when they put up a graphic too, like the team's logo.
Yes,
'cause what was cracking me up is Matt Boldy scored a goal, and it said Matt Boldy, and in his whole package there, it said min, and I'm like, minimum what? What is this the minimum of? I'm like, oh, Minnesota, duh. But anyway,
I just think they should do a better job, and it should have done, and they can still improve on this, I suppose, to do a better job of identifying who the players are to the average, to the less than average hockey fan.
I think they could do
a lot
really
of new eyes tuning into this, and you're not helping them out.
I completely agree with that. Let's go to Kyler in New Baltimore. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Kyler.
Hey, guys. I love listening to you guys in the morning on my way to work. I just have a question. Who do you guys think is going to win on Saturday between U.S. and Canada? I think Canada blows out U.S. with the depth that they have and the players that they have. Don't get me wrong, U.S. is, they are stacked, but Canada and their top power play, I don't know how you can get much better than that.
Well, you try not to give them the power play, and I don't know. I like USA. I think that their style with the Tkachuk brothers out there smashing and everybody,
right?
It's more NHL style, and right. It's not.
I mean, we're down our best defenseman with Quinn Hughes. I mean, he would have been a huge factor for U.S.
So it's fascinating, like, right? Because these teams really didn't have a chance to practice. They had no pre-tournament games. It's just a collection of players dropped in on the ice together.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go. Let's go play. It's almost like drop-in hockey. So anything I would answer your question would be an absolute guess. Because we know these teams are thrown together at the last second. I mean, blowout, you think Canada's going to blow out? How many goals will you give me with the U.S.?
That's the thing. I don't know. I mean, a lot of the U.S. players played together, like with the U.S. program growing up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're familiar with each other.
Well, some of them play together in the league. What do you give me? How about 4.5? I get the USA plus 4.5?
Oh, I don't know about that. I think it's going to be a really close game. If not, Canada blows them out.
Right. Thank you.
So it's either going to be really close or it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah.
Let's see. Started to say they're going to get blown out. Then you turn up the Karsh Casino and you say, how about 4.5 goals? And he says, oh, I don't know about that. Well, I mean, then you don't think it's going to blow out. And then he finishes up by saying, it's either going to be really close or it's going to be a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
There is an in-between. I mean, it's two goals. That's not as two, three goals.
What's a blowout?
What's a blowout at hockey? I got a question about watching international sports. We will get to that coming up today at 10:18 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Stub, huh?
Good old stub. Yep. I guess we're done.
I'm trying.
Yeah. This is a 4-hour project. Maybe the listeners can help us with a reason to dislike Finland.
I mean, they really think that Linus Torvalds is some software engineer genius. I mean, please. Linus, come on, dude. Yeah. Just because you invented the Linus operating system, get over yourself.
Exactly. All right. So when it comes to
nothing.
International sports, when you have a chance to go all USA, USA, what is your favorite to watch? Like when it, and all things considered, whether it be an Olympic event where you just pick the American or it's, you know, some other international level sport where you are all in, what is it for you? What international level sport where you get to go all USA, USA is your favorite?
Sergeant Slaughter versus the Iron Sheik in the early 80s in a boot camp match.
So correct me if I'm wrong. Iron Sheik was one of the absolute greatest villains in the history of sports entertainment.
Yeah.
Because that was the heat of the Iran hostage situation, and he leaned into being an Iranian champ.
He leaned
champ.
Into it, all right. Yeah.
That's a pretty good one.
And then formed a tag team with Nikolai Volkov, Russian.
Yeah. But currently, that doesn't happen.
No, I mean, beyond that, Doug. I guess it's, I mean, it probably is hockey. It's international hockey.
Yeah.
I'd love the international hockey.
I'm a big fan of World Cup soccer, of watching Team USA play in World Cup soccer, because we are never supposed to win. Everybody is supposed to be better than us. The fact that we are a risk to not qualify and haven't always qualified tells you what it is. And I love being an overwhelming underdog. There's very few international sports where we are an underdog. In World Cup soccer, we are legitimately an underdog. And the few times that we've risen up, like the 1 year we went to the quarterfinals, I don't know what it was, like 20 years ago now, but we made it to the quarterfinals of the World Cup, was unstinking believable. And didn't we were on the air when we scored a goal in extra time to beat somebody, and everybody was running around the station. It was like this momentary, you hate soccer so much, but it was a momentary, like, it was people bought in for that moment.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. If the team actually was good and when they advance, I mean, yeah, you get that prideful feeling and everybody parachutes in and say, yeah, I'm all about them. Let's go.
Yep.
But it's so infrequent that happens. I felt like it was manufactured so many years ago with the Alexei Lawless and those guys. It was kind of like, hey, here we are, Team USA. But it just didn't have the staying power because the team hasn't been relevant.
No, and there's the thing about it is in some weird romantic way that makes me like it more.
But the women
are bad.
Who have been dominant.
Yeah.
Is that the sport that does it? I mean, for women's soccer, I mean, because you parachute into that and watching the World Cup semifinals or finals, and here's the United States, and yeah, let's go.
I've enjoyed that, and I've watched it. I truly like being an underdog in something, which is weird, but it appeals to me more than when we're favored. And so my favorite international sport to watch is World Cup soccer. 248-539-9797. Yours? Is international hockey. I think with all the Olympic stuff, you know, there's a lot to choose from. So I'm intrigued to know what people's favorite international sport to watch is. So just because this is this sort of contrived, and contrived it has such a negative connotation, but I don't know what else. It's this, you know, new event, the Four Nations thing. Were the juices flowing last night like they usually are for international hockey?
I mean, it looked like it was pretty competitive, and the hatred that the crowd was heaping onto the United States team. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could feel it; it was palpable, even through the TV. So I and tomorrow night when USA takes on Canada at 8 o'clock, and they're playing at the Bell Center in Canada, it's going to be crazy loud and a crazy good atmosphere, I would imagine, for that game.
So. What do you think gets the biggest TV rating tomorrow night? The NBA All-Star festivities, including the three-point shootout with Cade Cunningham and the dunk contest. Michigan State at Illinois, Izzo going for the Big Ten record, or USA-Canada Four Nations hockey?
It'll be the NBA.
You think it'll be the NBA?
Yeah, it's the bigger of the three sports.
Even here in Detroit. Locally, is what's on the marquee?
It's probably still the NBA, I would imagine.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, Cade being in three-point shootout is
cool. You've already you cut the audience in half with Michigan State. I mean, because Michigan fans are going to care. They're not going to care.
Probably not.
And then you got hockey versus basketball fans. You're cutting in half again, and maybe not even in half.
Can't Dylan Larkin get some more ice time, please?
I'd like him to get some more, but when you win 6-1, it's hard to disagree with
I know
how they're using the players.
And please put the graphic back up so we know who's on the ice. 248-539-9797. What's your favorite international sport to watch when you get to go all USA, USA? It is Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. All right, so we got a bunch of response on the best international sport to watch. To go all USA, USA. Last night, we played Finland. I found myself mildly emotionally invested, but I cared. I didn't care as much if it were the Olympics. I didn't care as much some other things, but I was like, yeah, okay, I can get into this, and I can root for the old red, white, and blue. Gator, for you, it is, and it doesn't really matter what the venue is, you love international hockey.
Yep.
And so that is the one that really gets the juices pumping for you. Here's the feedback we've gotten. I like the World Baseball Classic. I feel like it's gotten more competitive throughout the years with the likes of Japan, Puerto Rico, and the Dominican.
It's fun to watch.
It is. And in baseball, these countries can put out respectable lineups that can beat us.
I think what I like about that tournament more is it's not so much the pride for the Americans. It's seeing how much pride the other countries have in themselves.
And that's
the difference.
It is really, really cool to see how important it is for them. And like, you know, we talk about being the favorite. Like, I have no interest at all in seeing international football. And I'm talking about our football. I don't want to see any other country try and take us in on football because they couldn't play with us. baseball they can play.
Mm-hmm.
It's a competition. There is a competitive aspect of that that is real.
Baseball, basketball, and hockey.
Basketball and hockey, it's real. And if we're an overwhelming favorite, but in baseball, where we probably are favored, but we could lose.
Curling?
Well, that's come up here.
Let's go Duluth.
Yeah, wasn't it literally four guys from a bar in Duluth that was our Olympic team?
Yeah.
Which is freaking awesome. For me, it's track and field. No matter who the favorite is, everything can be flipped on its head in 9.2 or 40 seconds. That's from Coach Jay. Favorite international sport who I get excited about the most is women's freestyle breakdancing. The lady from New Zealand was the Kobe Bryant of breakdancing. Is that for real? Wasn't the?
Well, it was Australia was the one who was.
I don't know if this is real or facetious. Is this sarcasm?
Well, she definitely wasn't the Kobe Bryant of breakdancing.
Well, I don't know. Who's the
one? You don't remember this, Doug? At all?
Well, there was a lady from Australia.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what they meant. Okay. I mean, this person is not exact. I'm doubting they care about breakdancing that much to even get anything correct about that text.
Yeah, they probably needed to get it right. The Ryder Cup is by far my favorite international event. I love the Ryder Cup. I feel like I love it more when it's in Europe.
Well, I feel like it means more if they win it in Europe.
Yeah.
You know, because you're on your home soil, you feel like you should win a hold serve, so to speak. But when you go on the road, it's different.
And I like the Ryder Cup more after we lose the Ryder Cup. When we lose the Ryder Cup, the next time it comes up, I'm like, win the damn thing back. And it can get to be tense and fun to watch. The last World Baseball Classic had me pumped for the USA. So good, circling my calendar for next year's tournament. Here you go, Gator. I'm the self-proclaimed president of the USA Curling Team Fan Club. Yep. They were the Duluth dudes.
Yeah.
Anthony and Mail Truck, it's definitely the World Cup. I'm a football guy. I love seeing how far we can go. 2026 World Cup is going to be awesome because it's here and we have the best team on paper that we've ever had. Is that true?
Yes. I mean, you've come to the authority. I'm going to let you know. Yeah. That's those are facts. You're spitting the truth.
Who do you like on our team? Side. Who on our side do you like?
There's that young kid, you know.
Pulisic?
Yeah. Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, he's phenomenal. There's the other dude. It's so hard just to hone in on one player. This is a team concept, Doug.
You know what I feel like we're getting a sample of?
When you get Wilson, Travers, and Jones Jr., those three guys out there at the same time, it's, you know, Katie barred the door because they're just able to generate so many offensive opportunities with their skills.
I feel like we are getting a window into high school Gator who didn't read the chapter and asked by the teacher to answer a question in front of the entire class. Oh, there's so much to say about this chapter.
It's the greatest chapter ever. I could be president one day the way I speak about this chapter.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful chapter. Wonderful chapter.
All right. So we asked this question out there on the Tigers. Spring training, it's underway, no games yet. There's brewing excitement about the product that's going to be put on the field at Comerica Park this summer, and there should be. We talked about this a little bit yesterday in the wake of the Bregman news going elsewhere, and we're not going to revisit Bregman. But here's a question for Tiger fans. All talking points about the Tigers and the chance to compete the last few years came with a narrative or a belief that there's no point in talking about it because the organization won't spend. There's no point in talking about it because people would blame Ilitch or they'd blame Scott Harris. They'd blame both.
Right.
Is that narrative or belief dead now? Because they offered $171.5 million. They've added over $55 million to the payroll in this offseason. They were willing to add almost another 30. I mean, they were pushing towards a $90 million upgrade. Bregman said no. Nobody is saying that the Tigers tried to get Bregman on the cheap. In fact, it felt like yesterday, in the wake of this, people felt like it was an overspend, but were willing to do it. Didn't we establish that Bregman was now going to be the third highest paid?
I think he is.
Position player average, in baseball, an average annual salary.
Yeah.
Which he's not worthy of that.
Behind Ohtani and Soto, maybe?
His $40 million a year, there's by no metric would he ever be considered the third best hitter.
No.
Or position player in the game.
Not even close.
So this all feels like a massive overpayment for a player who is... It'd be behind Ohtani. It's $70 million annually. Soto at 41, and he's tied with Aaron Judge at 40. A quick poll. Who would you rather have? Aaron Judge or Alex Bregman? Let's see, 100% of the results are in, and it's 100% Aaron Judge. All precincts reporting. But the Tigers made a very competitive offer. They were willing to make him like one of the top 10 position played players in the game. So the question we have is, the era of thinking of the Tigers not trying to compete, is that over? Like, or does it simply not matter because they didn't get Bregman?
Well, they didn't get him. So there's going to be the crowd that is still going to hold it against him. Yeah, if you really wanted to, you would have gone out and given him what he wanted. You would have done at all costs. Go give him the $200 million contract, then you could have gotten this done weeks ago. But, you know, at some point there is a fiscal responsibility that you have. And in the end, this is just an offer. Me personally, I think the offer speaks volumes because it was the best long-term offer that he got. And the Tigers got beat on a short-term offer that offered him ridiculous money. Now, would you and I have done a deal with Alex Bregman, 3 years and $120 million? Sure, because you can get out of that contract after 3 years if it's going to go south. And the likelihood of it going south is probably pretty strong. So would I have been inclined to do that? Yeah, but looking at $40 million a year for a player who's not worth it, who's worth, you know, 75% of that total at best, it would seem to be irresponsible. But Boston's in a different world right now. Boston was desperate to get him. They went out and overspent him on him and cut him a deal that is very Alex Bregman friendly. But at the same time, should help out Boston too. I don't know if it puts Boston over the edge and makes them an automatic playoff team or a division. I don't think it makes him division champ. But I think he would have been better off. I think his value would have been better with the Tigers than it is with the Red Sox. Because I think it would help the Tigers get over the top more than it does the Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean, look, we can have legitimate Tiger conversations now about them trying to win without the sort of that trap door of always going back to ownership won't pay or Scott Harris won't strike these deals.
So the other side of it is this, is that that's not the only move the Tigers tried to do. They actually succeeded in getting Jack Flaherty here to get him back and sign him on a pretty reasonable contract again, a two-year deal that looks like, wow, that's very reasonable. They went out and got Gleyber Torres on a really reasonable contract. They got Tommy Cainley on a reasonable contract. So Scott Harris has done his job while getting those players, and then in addition to those players, getting the go-ahead from Chris Illich to try to land Bregman and giving him his offer. I would hope that the narrative is kind of shut down temporarily, but it's always going to be there until the Tigers do get that big signing. You know, if they go out and offer that money to Tarek Skubal, then I think people are like, all right, I'll back off. But for now, the people that still have that burning
until
hatred,
they see it.
Until they see it, they're not going to believe it. They're going to say, well, he still hasn't done anything. Like, okay, fair enough. But, I mean, they've added to a team that made the playoffs last year. They haven't subtracted from it. They've added to the team.
All right, so it's really, though, I want to know how you feel, Tiger fans. Do you feel like the era of feeling that there's there's no chance that they're going to compete because the commitment isn't there. Is the commitment there now? Do you feel like the end of the Bregman saga, now that the dust has settled, we can at least rely on the fact that the commitment is there to win financially from the Tigers organization? Do you feel that way? Or does it simply not matter because they didn't get Bregman? 248-539-9797. Get to your phone calls and feedback next here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, got the winter blues and needed a spark to get you through this? Well, Sarah Chevrolet in Southfield can give you the jolt that you need. The deals on the 2024 Chevy Blazer all-wheel drive EVs are incredible. So much so that Sarah Chevrolet bought out every 2024 in the county that they could find. You can now lease an all-wheel drive Blazer EV for just $199 a month with only $999 down. That's taxes and fees included. Now, these are shockingly low payments. The 2024 Chevy Blazer EV, it comes standard with heated seats, heated steering, and also all-wheel drive. Now, all that's going to help your winter drive go very smoothly. Bolt into Sarah Chevrolet in Southfield before they're gone, though. And believe me, at these low payments, these Blazer EVs are going to be gone soon. Not only does Sarah Chevrolet Southfield have late nights, they're also open on Saturdays for sales and service with loaner vehicles available. Shop online at sarahchevrolet.com or give them a call. Sarah Chevrolet Southfield, they're generating excitement. Together, let's drive.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. 248-539-9797. All right, so a lot of text coming in on the Four Nations Cup thing. Also, a question about, have we moved beyond the narrative or the belief, have the Tigers simply transitioned into an era where they're ready to pay? They're ready to compete financially and give themselves a legitimate shot. And this is based upon adding $55 million and making a $171.5 million offer. And so that when you have Tiger conversations and you do talk about the team and you do look forward to the season, you know that they're giving themselves a fighting chance. Or does it not matter because they didn't get Bregman? Patrick writes in, it matters, but I'd like to see them pivot to using that money to extend guys currently on the roster. Riley Green, Kerry Carpenter, Parker Meadows, dare I say, Tarek Skubal.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd all like to see Skubal get locked up. I'm not sure how far away the other guys are from getting those extensions, but you know, we've got Skubal for this year and next year, and then he becomes a free agent if they don't extend him. So they'll have to spend some money soon, without question.
From Under Bruno on Twitter, it shows young Ilitch is ready to spend and Harris is willing to spend wisely. The big test now is to find an experienced and reliable hitter to help the offense. What will they spend for this? So Lynn Henning tweeted out today he thinks a big trade's coming. I don't know if it's before the season. I'll read the tweet here on the air and we can figure that out. But I'm of the belief that the money was available for Bregman. That budgeted money should be available at the trade deadline. And quite frankly, at the trade deadline, when we have more information and there's an accessible path to more players, it's probably going to be more wisely spent. There wasn't a lot of accessibility to good right-handed at-bats with contracts that make nothing but sense. I think by almost every measurement, Alex Bregman is an overpay. It's certainly an overpay for what Boston's getting him for. He is not the third best position player in baseball. He will be paid that way on an average annual basis. But, I mean, I guess the cost is what the cost is. So I feel like they could spend the money more wisely and take on a better contract and maybe a more specific need come the trade deadline. Because at the trade deadline, hell, you might get two players. They've got the material the teams are going to want.
Yeah.
And my guess is when you get to, if you're competing, you get to the trade deadline, you probably have more than one hole you'd like to address because you're trying to win a World Series. You're trying to put together the most complete team. You might be able to get a upgrade at two positions. But we'll see what happens come trade deadline. But that's why I wasn't mad that they didn't get Bregman, is that trade deadline is going to be awfully interesting this year.
It will, because of the amount of talent this team has in a minor league system. Yes, they're prospects, but teams like prospects. Think about it, last year when the Tigers were trading, and you wanted to see all the talk about, hey, if they trade Skubal, look what you can get from Baltimore. Look what you should be able to get from Baltimore. And in the end, they didn't get anything from Baltimore, and neither did anybody else.
If you've been a skeptical fan about this team's commitment to winning, is that skepticism gone away a little bit here? Section 344 Lions on Twitter says, it's a little bit of both. We can't play the we spent card when they did not, in fact, land the player. They do appear more open and willing than before. I'll give them that. From Chris G, Bregman is just a name. I'm more concerned that right-handed power wasn't addressed. Hopefully the Tigers stay in the hunt and look to add at the trade deadline. From Not Bleazy on Twitter, it stays true because they could spend the money elsewhere or make other moves, but chose not to, and then spin it like, look like we like what we have. Spin it as they like what we have. I mean, I don't know that they are spinning anything. I think they're stating a fact. What do you want them to say? We have a massive hole at third and we're not going to compete now that we didn't get Bregman.
I mean, I think that you want evidence that they're constantly looking to upgrade the roster. Just look at the last couple of weeks and how many players have been added to this team. Now, they may not be the biggest name players, but yeah, it feels like they're constantly looking at it, certainly at the bullpen, and they're bringing in guys that they've signed, and they may not move the needle too much. But the Tigers feel very comfortable with their pitching coaching, that they know how to get the most out of pitchers, and they've got a track record of doing it. So you wonder if those moves, those slight moves, are going to pay off. All the while, you know, they were working behind the scenes to try to land the big fish of Alex Bregman. So I haven't seen the Lynn Henning tweet. That's interesting to me. I know that Lynn's been an advocate and proponent that they go ahead and make a trade, and thinks that it's because it makes logical sense that now the team, the organization would be, you know, playing from a position of strength when it comes to prospects that they have. And when you're trying to get a player from another team, that's how you do it. You take a chance. Somebody's got to take the chance. Like, Florida took a chance. They wanted the Tigers' top two prospects in exchange for Cabrera and Dontrell Willis. Worked out really well for the Tigers, maybe not so well for Florida, but then again, Florida was never going to pay Miguel Cabrera.
All right, so the Lynn Henning tweet from this morning, this came out this morning. He says the following, long time, covered the Tigers forever, and sends this out. The Tigers had one main offseason objective, get a heavier stick in the lineup, ideally targeted to the infield's left side. Cannot believe they would go into opening day without having added an upgrade there. Hence, a long-held belief there will be a deal before the season starts.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, does that mean that they get involved in trying to sway Nolan Arenado to go ahead and accept a trade to Detroit? If it means for third base, is it somebody else from another organization that has a younger third baseman that they covet?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that Harris constantly brings up trades, it leads me to, like, we shouldn't be surprised if they do indeed go out and make a sizable trade. Now, do they have to do it in this very moment, or do they see a few things from spring training first? And as AJ Hinch says, see how the puzzle pieces fit together before they do anything significant.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine you're working on stuff, but I think all teams of all would probably like to see a little bit of something from those players, whether it's if the Tigers looking to see something from whatever player from Colorado. I don't know. I'm just throwing a team out there. And Colorado wants to see, okay, are any of those spring training invitees prospects we're looking at?
Yep.
Well, I see what they look like in a professional camp.
Jason is very skeptical. This tweet he sends back to us: I think they made an offer they knew would not be accepted. I believe it is referred to as a non-competitive offer. Looks like the team made an effort, but in reality, they simply just checked the box that said, see, we tried, and he refused. So he's the bad guy.
If they had made an offer of like $160 million to just get a little bit better than the Houston offer, I would agree with that. That's not going to get it done. They went to 171 plus.
Here's why I don't think they made an offer they knew was going to be refused. We heard right up until the end Detroit was in it. If Boris, and Boris will push whatever helps his client. Boris never said the Tigers are out. Nobody reported that Bregman's sources say the Tigers are out. I don't buy for one second that the Tigers' offer was one they knew would be refused. I think they had their mind made up. This is how much we're going to spend. This is what we think is responsible spending, and made an offer. It didn't get accepted.
No, I think what ended up happening was that there were teams that were interested in Alex Bregman, but they weren't interested in doing a 6 or 7 year deal. And there were teams that were interested in doing a 6 or 7 year deal. And you saw the difference in those offers.
Yep.
So when, if those teams are feeling like, oh my God, we're going to lose him to a 6 year deal that really they're only going to pay him whatever that ends up being, $28 million, $29 million a year, we got to step up our short term offer and make that look really attractive. Here's what we're going to do. And the Cubs went with a 4 year deal for $30 million a year. And then Boston said, hold my beer. I'll give you 3 years, but $40 million a year, and you get opt-outs after the first two.
It's pretty interesting. I'm looking at the feedback coming in on this, and there are a lot of people that are skeptics. Stevie writes in, I think they knew they didn't have a chance to sign Bregman and made an offer just to show good faith that at least they tried. Jeff writes in, the offer was a report. It doesn't mean it's real. If it was real, then it does make me feel better. It's just strange to me that a Boris client takes less money, as clients generally sign for the biggest offer.
It's pretty well documented, the offer, by several different very credible sources. And it's pretty detailed what that offer was, even with deferred money.
Yeah.
And, you know, opt out after the 26th year. I don't know. I guess I'm buying that was a real offer.
248-539-9797. Hey, just a reminder, you can stream the show using the Odyssey app. Download it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. Then you'll be entered in that contest for the trip to Vegas, the $20,000 for the basketball tournament in March. You also stream with through our website, 971theticket.com. Stream with video where you can see the building renovation going on behind Gator. There's some risky, risky behavior with men on ladders directly behind Gator.
Okay.
That is at twitch.tv and youtube.com if you want to check it out. It is Carson Anderson on a Friday. Tiger fans are encouraged. At least the skepticism subsided a little bit. At least they seem willing to spend. Or does it just not matter because they didn't get Bregman? 97 won the ticket.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.